Morning. Great to be with you guys this morning. So excited for our day. Got a Bible? Turn to Psalm 127. And if you're a note taker, just jot this down. We're going to be looking at the topic of, again, first session, a man on mission first gets his awe for God back, walks in the fear of God, and that just kind of burns away all other competitors. Jesus is on the mountain, and even the good stuff has to fade away so that the only one that remains is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Today, we're going to get a bit into the nitty-gritty, the details of it, and that is the responsibility we have as men on mission, and specifically, how do I love my wife? How do I love my kids? How do I love my Lord, and how do I have fun doing it? And again, you might be like, oh, I don't have a wife, or I don't have kids, or maybe some of you in here, you said, don't have that. You know, I wish I learned these things before. Amen? Those of you who are married, you go, so this is preparation, so don't check out, take notes. All right, let's get into it. Psalm 127, we'll read it, and then we'll dive in to God. And then we'll dive into God's teaching today. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early. This was me last night. To sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Father, we ask this morning that you would come in the power of your Holy Spirit and move upon our lives. Again, God, we're not interested in just taking time, but Lord, we want to be transformed through your word and by your Holy Spirit so that all we see is Jesus. God, we come right now on behalf of our wives, on behalf of our kids, on behalf of our future wives and kids, on behalf of our family, and on behalf of ourselves. And Lord, we humbly come to you and ask that you would help us in our time of need, that you would move upon our life, and that you would indeed, Holy Spirit, change us. And we ask this for your glory and in Jesus' name. And all God's men said, amen. Amen. I started working out again recently. Thanks for the laughter. That was helpful. That's painful, eh? You're like, I started working out again. Oh, you're serious. Okay, yeah, I was, but that's all right. And there was this guy on the leg press who was just a mountain of a man, you know, like 300 pounds. I'm not going to say he was using steroids, but he definitely used steroids. And he was on, I don't know if you, anybody here work out at the gym? Yeah, okay. Get the growl in there, why don't you? Yeah, I do, yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, he's just one of those guys that just lives in the gym. You know what I mean? And so much so that he was on this leg press exercise and taking forever, might I add. He had set up his towel and TV and I don't know what. He was not moving. And I had this trainer who I was supposed to meet. The trainer didn't show up. So I'm just going to work through the same exercises. And so there's this guy on the leg press and it's just taking forever and I need to use the leg press. And he's a combination of, like, you know, Arnold meets Incredible Hulk, kind of, if you want to visualize who he is. So I went up, and I couldn't wait any longer. I'm like, hey, dude, you're in my seat, yo. No, I didn't say that. No. It's just, you know, in your mind you say that. But when I actually went up, I'm like, hi, could I work in with you? You know, could we work in together? Could we work out buddies? You know, just you do one, and then I... And The whole persona I'd built up about this giant of a man disappeared instantly when this 300-pound bulk of muscle turned to me and he goes, oh, sure, that's fine. I was like, okay, thanks, Mickey. I'll go next. I'm like, come again? He's like, that's fine. We can work in together. No problem. I'm like, okay, great. And all the fear was gone. Just, you know what I mean? Just instantly gone. Except when I had to adjust the bar from 400 to 90 every time. But other than that, that was the hardest fearful moment. And I think it's so funny that when it comes to being a man, you know, we're going to talk about being a man on mission, but let's just pause on what it is to be a man. Because we have all these things in our culture that send messages about what it is to be a man. You know, you watch the Eagles win, and then you think, wow, that's awesome. And they had this huge parade, and I saw all these believers, and I don't know if I just, like, you know, offended half of you because you're like, we don't like the Eagles. I don't know. I'm in Canada. We don't have that, okay? We have really bad football up there. Anyway, all your rejects come to us. But anyway, but you know, you see that, and I see this thing on Facebook, all these guys sharing about how they're giving the glory to God, and I'm like, that's awesome. Godly men saying we won this because of God. And then you see other guys in the parade, I don't know if you saw this, but just ranting on and swearing, and there's kids there, and I'm thinking, like, and people are going, oh, that's a man right there. And I'm like, well, you're doing this speech, and it's like a combination of WWE meets Braveheart meets just profanity. And I'm going, and there's children here. We, in our culture, we're so messed up on what a man is. Guys don't know what to cheer for anymore. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, oh, that's a man. Yeah, no, it's not. Okay, sorry. I mean, that is. It's like we don't even know what a man is anymore. And we can't talk about mission, guys, until we know what it is to be a man first. And look, we live in a day and age where New York says there's 31 genders, for crying out loud. And you think, you wonder why guys are so messed up on what it is to be a man. Can I also say this? Most of our TV characters that are men today, they're kind of idiots or wusses, aren't they? I'm like, I mean, no, I'm sorry if we have like the creators of Simpsons in here, but Homer Simpson's an idiot, right? I mean, we're like, oh, that guy's funny. But like that was our, you know, okay, that's a man on TV and he's just a moron. And then everybody loves Raymond is like, I mean, I know I'm dating myself here, but you know what I'm talking about? Some of these characters, you think Raymond's a moron and his wife is the smart one. And look at all the TV shows out there. Is anybody catching what I'm saying here? And we've lost, and what happens now is culture's gone so far on the feminism thing that we're like dissing on men as the new thing. But that's just wrong. Can we just have a man moment here? Sorry, but God created us to lead. God created us to be warriors in the kingdom. And there is a role that is diminished and lost, and it hurts the Father, and we need to get that back. Because if you don't know what a man is first, how can you be on mission as a man? And that's what our conference is all about. What is a man? Is it the guy who bench presses the most? Is it the guy who punches the hardest, has the deepest voice, you know, spits the farthest, or can take Conor McGregor in a cage match? Is that what a man is? Farts the loudest? What's a man? That's somebody over breakfast right there who's like, I just did that. I know. Okay. Yeah. So I said it. Let me give you a simple, basic definition. I know there's a way deeper definition. I know the Bible has layers and levels of what a man is. But let me just give you a simple one, because in my mind, this cuts through a lot of the junk and the jargon and the hoopla. And here it is. A man, please jot this down. Put it in your phone. Take it with you. Tell your wife you just thought of this on your own. Take credit for it. I don't care. A man is one who is responsible for his responsibilities. That's it. He's responsible. By the way, I love your furnace system, your air conditioning that kicks in. Yeah, we don't need air conditioning in Canada, right? So every now and then I'm like, go. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. It's just air conditioning. If I'm new to this, okay? I was like, what is that? But nobody else is scared. Okay, just me. A man is one who's responsible with his responsibilities. Please remember this, because 99% of the problems in your world, 99% center around this issue. All the great heroes of the faith, the great men of God will tell you the number one challenge. Thomas Kempis, I was reading this recently, this guy from the 1300s, love this guy. He's like, your greatest issue is always with you. It's with you. I mean, how many times do you, Can you agree with me, man? How many times, I know in my own life, am I like, I'm so messed up in a period, and then it's like a brother will be like, hey, how's your devotions? How's your time in the word and prayer? Have you had this? And you're like, I don't need to talk about that right now. My life is messed up. And it's the very thing that you're not giving responsibility to that God puts his finger on. You're like, no, that's not, that. This is what it's all about. A man is one who is responsible with his responsibilities. Listen to this. Oswald Sanders said, the whole Bible shows that when God does find a man who is ready to lead, to be on mission, to commit to full discipleship, and take on, here's the word, responsibility for himself and others, that person, that man, I would add, is used to the limit. Don't we want to be used to the limit? And God's saying, here it is, be responsible with the responsibilities. I don't know, it might be too simple for you, but I'm a simple guy and I like it boiled down simple. The stuff that is yours to look after it. Now, the perfect man, of course, is Jesus, because he was perfectly responsible to the Father and for the Father's will. That's it. And you and I need to take our cue for masculinity from Jesus. After all, if you will, he takes responsibility for you and me. See, the cross, if you want to say it this way, is where Jesus substituted himself and died in my place for my sins. Did you hear that? You need to know this. My sins are my fault, not Jesus' fault. Yet amazingly, Jesus made them his responsibility. This is the essence of the gospel and the good news. Our ultimate warrior, our person that we look to and say, that is a man, said, it's not my fault, it's not my responsibility, but I'm going to make it my responsibility, I'm going to own it, and I'll die for it. That's a man. That's a man. And that is the gospel. If you understand this, guys, this is going to change not only how you view masculinity, but life. Jesus died for your sins. He took responsibility for you. And now in return, you take responsibility for you, your wife, your family, your mission, and your church. It's the men who are to lead in the church. It is the men who are to rise up and say, I will own that. And it's not just for the chosen few. You know, oh, that guy's serving, he's got this. No. Every man should serve somewhere in the local church. Every man steps up. I love Psalm 127. It's a psalm of ascent. It's a song families would chant together or sing as they descended the steps of the temple in Jerusalem. It's sort of an as for me and my house anthem, you could say. What family looks like under God's rule. Let's say it this way. When a man takes responsibility for his role, his wife, his kids, and his walk with the Lord, Psalm 127 is what it looks like. And today we're going to look at three areas of responsibility of a man. Number one, your walk. Number two, jot this down, your wife. Your wife is number two. And number three, your wonderful kids, because we have to have another W. So, your walk, your wife, and your wonderful kids. I was going to say your womb because that's in the verse, but I was like, who wants to say womb at a men's conference? Anyway, too late, I just did. Number one, your walk. Psalm 127, we're going to talk about your walk. Look what it says. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Who builds the house? Shout it out, man.
The Lord.
Gentlemen, let's get something straight. You don't have a hope of being a good husband or a dad if it's all on you. See, I want to balance out. I just told you, a man is one who's responsible for your responsibilities. That is a man. And yet there's a recognition that a true man, while being responsible and saying, I'm going to do this, is also surrendered and says, you're going to do this through me. See the combination? And so real men get up early. They spend time in the word. And I've heard every argument, oh, you don't have to pray in the morning. Look, if you work at 5 a.m., that's fine. You do your night devotions. I don't care. For me, it's just I'm going to take out a clean, forgive me, worship people. I'm going to take out a clean sheet of paper every day. I'm going to let the Lord be the first one to write on it. That's just every day starts like this. I'm like, God, you write first. So whatever you do, you're like, oh, I can only do 15 minutes. Do 15 minutes. But get into his word and let him speak in you because you're on mission for him. How are you going to know what the mission is if you're not in his word? And that's the first thing. I start with him, and I pray the arm of God every single, I mean, there's days I miss, but as a rule, every single day, I pray through the armor of God because I'm going into a battle. If I'm not dressed for success, how am I going to succeed? And so I put the armor of God on, and I pray through a psalm, or I read through a psalm and a proverb, and I'm giving you my devotional life. This is free. And I read through a psalm and a proverb, and then I'll sometimes read somewhere else if I have time, and I take three things, I highlight them, and then I journal them back in a prayer to God, and then I walk into my day. And I go, I know what God told me for the day. And I want that for you guys. I really do. That's my burning passion. And so the question is, who's building the house right now? You or God? That's the first thing. When I think about a house, I think about a spiritual home. And the foundation I'm building on is my walk with Jesus. I want to ask you, just plainly, don't answer, just think about this. How is your walk with the Lord today? How is time in prayer and in the word? The Bible says, dwell with your wives with understanding, or your prayers will be hindered. Guys come in sometimes and they're struggling with their wife. And I ask them, how's your prayer life? And a guy will come in and he's saying he's struggling with his prayer life. And I'll ask him, how's your wife? Because the Bible shows you them, right? That if these are both true, then you're going to understand they're directly connected to each other. And of all the areas that will create the most shame in a man's life, the neglect and the avoidance of his own personal walk with God is the highest. And the neglect and avoidance of his wife and the responsibility of the home is probably number two or number one for most guys too. And so here's what you figure out. A man, you'll never be greater than your prayer life. I didn't say that, and I'm just trying to remember because I'm off script here. I think it's Leonard Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill said, you'll never be greater than your prayer life. What a line. You will not be greater than your time with Jesus in the morning. Think about that. Let it sink in. And there's no condemnation. It's not like, oh, here we go. This is what I needed. I'm not trying to like wail on you. I'm just calling you to be men. Be responsible in this relationship you have with. Is God building the house? Then how does God build the house? Because you first come and you go, God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that means we start with the Lord. If we want any success in life, it's because we start with the Lord. And you won't be better than your prayer life, guys. And that's just the hard truth. And I say that, it's not condemnation, that's love. That should free someone in here. Do you know repentance, that word, we always talk about it means an about turn. But let me go further. Here's the heart of God. You know what repentance is? It's an invitation to get right with God. It's an invitation to turn around. God's going, turn around, turn around. You know, like you do with your kids when they're learning to walk and you got them to go to the table, now we want them to come back. Turn around, turn around. God's not like, turn around, turn around. Whoosh, that's not God. That's condemnation. No, he's like, I'm trying to get you to see there's a better way. It's you and me in the morning, first thing. And then it's us walking out the day together with the power of the Holy Spirit, session two today. And that's what we're talking about. You're on mission. God is the one building the house. And it's funny when guys come in and they're like, I'm struggling with my prayer life. And I'm like, how's your wife? They're like, why are you even asking that? Because the Bible says if you don't dwell with your wives with understanding, if you're not responsible for your wife and you're not listening and trying to figure out how to serve and please her, he's not going to listen to your prayers. Do you realize that? And so when a guy's like, yeah, my prayer life sucks. How's your wife? Oh, yeah, we've been fighting lately. Ding, ding, ding. That's the problem. Not always, but that is often the problem. And you can flip that, right? You can flip that and you realize that what? When a guy has a problem with his wife, you go, hey, how's your devotional life? How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? Can I just say, I'm often going, Lord, I bicker too much with my wife. How do I get rid of that? And God's like, well, let's go back to, did you put the armor of God on? Did you pray? Did you come? You know what I'm talking? I'm just getting real. We're just being, oh, there it is. Okay. All right. Air conditioning from Jesus. All right. You'll love it. You brought a Canadian, so you have to expect there's a few things I'm not used to. What is this air conditioning you speak of? All right. Of all the areas, this is the key one. Hear me. Hear me in this. Your best laid plans will fail unless God crowns them with his success. And how does he do that? He does that through your time with the Lord. How do you build your spiritual house and family? Through the Lord, through your walk with the Lord. Number one, your walk. Number two, let's get into it. Your wife. Verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And so obviously we're looking at where does the children come from? Your wife. And so we're going to talk about this, the fruit of that relationship. When asked in a survey what cooking real men would be okay with in the home, the number one answer was, shout it out if you think you know, toast. That's good. I've never had that answer to that question. What cooking would you be okay with in your house? Toast. I'm amazing. Good to know. You've got skills in here. All right. The number one answer was grilling or barbecuing. One guy says this. He says, when a man volunteers to do the barbecue, I'm going to use that toast, whoever said that, thank you. When the man volunteers to do the barbecue, the following chain of events is put into motion. The woman goes to the store. The woman fixes the salad, vegetables, and dessert. You know where we're going here. The woman prepares the meat for cooking, places it on a tray alongside the necessary cooking utensils, and takes it to the man who is lounging beside the grill. The man places the meat on the grill. The woman goes inside to set the table and check the vegetables. The woman comes out to tell the man the meat is burning. This literally happens. The man takes the meat off the grill and hands it to the woman. The woman prepares the plates and brings them to the table. After eating, the woman clears the table and does the dishes. Not in my house, but I'm just saying. Everyone praises the man and thanks him for his incredible cooking. And I've literally done the next one, forgive me, Lord. The man asks the woman how she enjoyed her night off. Upon seeing her annoyed reaction, concludes, there's just no pleasing some women. I ran that by my wife. She was angry by the end. But anyway, this passage makes the assumption that if we're doing it right, our children, our heritage comes from our wife. Amen? So the first thing to do is to state the obvious. If you've got a Bible, turn there. Turn to Ephesians 5, verse 25, please, gentlemen. And let's read it together. It says this. Give you a second. Ephesians 5, 25. Here's what it says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. See the responsibility in there? See, because before we talk about how to have fun loving your wives, I got to ask you, and don't answer, just answer inside, are you loving your wife? And I don't know, most guys will give you a comment, oh yeah, of course I am, right? And if she was here and we asked her, would she say the same thing? Well, you know, some guys have given me this answer over the years. Well, Joel, you see, I'm not an emotional guy. Maybe you're thinking that right now. I would just respond lovingly, garbage. Let me ask, some guys tell me this. They're like, well, Joel, you know, you're emotional, and so it's easy for you, but I'm not emotional. And I know these guys, and I say, really, really, Frank, because when we go play golf and you shank a shot, a whole bunch of emotion comes out of you. You're like, fuck, come on. I can't believe this. Because when we watch football on TV or soccer, a whole bunch of emotion comes out of you when your team's doing great and when they're not doing great. It's amazing how many guys are like, I'm not emotional until they're doing the thing what? That they're emotional about. Isn't it? And guys are like, well, you know, it's just, I'm not like that. I'm like, look, you married her. Nobody duped you into it. Okay, surprise, we married you off to someone. Come on, nobody's ever had that. Well, maybe in India, but listen. You weren't forced to marry her. It wasn't like, do you take this woman to be your awful wedded wife? Nobody did that, right? You weren't like, no, okay, I give, I'll take her. No, you love her. You loved her. There was emotion at the start when you pursued her. You were the man, right? You're like, hey, how you doing? This is my normal voice. No, it wasn't. You were emotional. And well, just like somebody did that. All right. I still do. Okay. Just like in your walk with the Lord, you got to get back sometimes to your first love. Amen? It's like, remember how it was? And when you first saw her, and there's some guy talking to you about the weather, and you're like, could you shut up, Jerry? Ah, shining light. You walked with your chest out. Like, just remember that. And the Bible talks about coming back to your first love with the Lord. You gotta do that with your wife, too. If it's just responsibility with my responsibility, you're going to go home tonight and be like, honey, we're going to love each other. Sit on the couch. I've got 9 things. Number one. And it can't be that way. There's got to be some emotion to it, some love. And here's the thing. True love, the kind of love that keeps a couple together for a lifetime, let me just say this, it's not a feeling. It's an attitude. That's huge. Please jot that down. This attitude leads to words and actions that benefit your spouse. Oh, sure, there's a responsibility. You're like, I'm gonna be better at this. But it starts with the attitude. Because otherwise, what? If it's just on the feelings, you'll only do it when you want to do it. But God didn't tell you to love your wives, in brackets, in the Message translation, when you feel like it. Didn't say, husbands, love your wives when you're in the mood. When the emotions are spiking, love your wives. If you get back that thing you had early on, then go ahead and love her. It just said, love her. And guys will be like, I don't feel anything for her. That doesn't cut it. It's your attitude to choose to love her. This is huge. This is huge. You choose it first. C.S. Lewis said this, obey first, then the feelings will follow. That is so true. You serve it, and there is a responsibility sometimes because you don't feel it, but you do it anyway, and those feelings come later. You know, people say, fake it till you make it. Well, that's not really what we're talking about, but I'll spiritualize it for you. Faith it till you make it. Faith it till you make it. You're like, oh, I don't really feel the love's gone, man. It's like, you don't fall in and out of love. That's Hollywood, right? That's garbage. You choose it. It's an attitude. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to love you. Some of you, the best thing for you tonight is to go home to your wife and just humble yourself and say, I'm not done good at this. And I'm sorry. And then don't tell her what you're going to do. Just do it. You know what I mean? You're like, I'm going to do these 4. No, don't do that. Because if you drop one, she'll not like you. Here's how I love my wife. This is my cheat sheet. So please jot this down. Here's the first one, in the way she likes to be loved. That's the first one. Now, whether you adhere to the whole love language thing, you know, the books out there or whatever, I think it's undeniable that your wife is different and receives love differently than you do. Well, gentlemen, you need to find out how that is. Here, I'll put it into God's words. I'll give you a verse. 1 Peter 3:7 says, dwell with your wives with understanding. That is, understand who she is and what she loves and do that, serve that. Let me give you 3 ways I have fun loving my wife. Here's the first one, and this is just fun, okay? All right, here's the first one, gifts. Gifts. A gift tells your wife, here it is, this is huge. For some of you, you're gonna be a breakthrough moment. Here's what a gift does. It tells your wife, you're thinking about her. Amazing, I know, you heard it here. That's free. It's a novel thought, I know. But some of you guys, you have this mental block. You're like, okay, gifts. All right, it has to be big. Honey, we're going to France. We're going to Paris together. It doesn't have to be big, gentlemen. It just has to be. The reality is, I'm amazed by guys who are always like, I got my wife flowers. I'm like, it's Valentine's Day. It's when she's expecting them. You want to really love your wife? Get her flowers when she doesn't expect them. And be creative about it. Listen, I have this thing on my iPhone, literally in my notes, I can show you, called How to Love My Wife, or Ways to Love My Wife. It's one of those two. I keep a file on there, and when I hear her say something, she'll say, oh man, I really love that shirt. You know, right now, for the last, 19 years of marriage, she thinks I just ignore her when she's talking about things she likes. It's not that. I'm like, I'm not texting. I'm writing it down. And so when Christmas comes around, I don't have to ask my wife, what do you want for Christmas? Let's go to the list. I get her everything on the list. But throughout the year, I get her little things on here. She goes, oh man, I like that coffee like that. Okay. Likes the coffee like that. It's just paying attention. I got these little things after Christmas. She said, aren't stockings fun? I said, yeah, they're fun. And she's like, wouldn't it be kind of cool if you could do stockings all year round? I'm like, yeah, I guess. I don't care. But listen. I'm like, stockings all year round. How am I going to do that? So you know what I did? We upgraded all the in-ear pieces for all our musicians about 2 years ago. You know, I'm talking, generally, this is free. Okay. All these, and we got all these expensive ones, and they came out in all these expensive tech boxes. And they were, like, sealed magnetically, and they were, and I was like, are you guys going to use the boxes to the worship people? And they're like, no, why would we want the boxes? Perfect. I took all five of them. They're these really gorgeously designed gray boxes. And I wrote the names of all my kids and my wife on these boxes. And I stuck them under their beds. And I called them agape boxes. And we still do this today. And probably once every 2 months, I'll be in the house somewhere. And this is because my wife said she thought this would be fun. I'll be in the house somewhere and I'll say, hey, family, listen up. I just want you to know I love you. I agape you. And they know that means dad put a stocking stuffer in the agape box under the bed. This is supposed to be fun. And they run, including my wife, run to the bed. And we have stockings every 2 months. Okay, now I'm going to have to work two other jobs just to pay for it. But doesn't matter. Details. Do these things. This is free advice. I'll give you a great romance hack. You ready? If you're going to send flowers, don't send them on the day she expects them. Here it is. I hesitate telling you this because it's like straight out of my manipulative man playbook that I'm writing this summer. But here it is. Ready? Order her flowers. This is so bad. Forgive me. Forgive me for sharing this. And don't tell your wife. Just do it. Order her flowers when her girlfriends are over. That's free, gentlemen. That is free. That is free. Please. That is golden. Write that down, okay? I don't have a verse for that. There's probably verses against that. But listen, the best is I'll wait. She'll be like, we're having a girls breakfasting at our house. All the girls in the church, 40 women are coming. I'm like, oh, yeah, when are you doing that? It's like Saturday, okay? So I'm like, that's when I send flowers. Because you know what happens, right? Ding dong, it's the middle of her Bible study, the door rings, bouquet of flowers, takes it in. Oh, my husband, he got me flowers. Now all the women in the church saw it. They go home to their husbands, and they now go, why don't I get this? But anyway, listen. And then she's always like, you're so sweet for sending me flowers, babe, but you won't believe this. They showed right up in the middle of her. What does it do to a woman when her friends are around and you come through like that? She just glows. This is free, gentlemen. Make sure you write this down. Nudge your friend if they're not, okay? Right? And she's like, yeah, they showed up right in the middle of our ladies' Bible study. Now all the women were like, oh, your man rocks. And I'm like, oh, serious? I'm sorry. I had no idea. Okay, forgive me. Anyway, here's another one. Gifts is fun, but you know what? Also this. How you communicate. You can choose romance even if you don't feel it. Did you know that? I mean, text message. Some of you men, when you communicate with your wife, if you're honest, you know, like just, if this is you, sorry, but if you're honest, some of you communicate like to your wife like she's a coworker. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, honey, home 6 p.m., 6:30, dinner, finances at 7, hugging 4 seconds long, be there, hey-ya, hey-ya, hey-ya. That's how you communicate with your wife. She's not a coworker. Send some love. Send some love when you communicate. Just kind of watch these things. Now, you have to be careful what you communicate, you know, not via the phone, but still put some love into it. And I caution you on this. I did something of this nature just a short while back. She texted me something about how she was making apple crumble for our elders and wives' party coming up. And I responded with something clearly for her and I only about after apple crumble. Some things that were just on my heart for her for later that night, not realizing it was a group text. Let's just say the first 15 minutes of that elder and wife party was a little awkward. So one of the guys was like, I totally feel you, man, I'm there too. But anyway, all right. And she's like, maybe you shouldn't. So just be careful with that one, okay? Here's the second way, how you communicate. Third way, house stuff.
house stuff. My wife, her love language is, again, love for the way she wants to be loved. My wife's love language is quality time and acts of service. Anybody got this, wife? Where you at? All right, I feel you. All right, there. Come on. Okay. So if I want to love her, I better do the dishes. You know what I'm talking about? And listen, romantically, nothing happens if I don't look after the house. You hear me? You want to be intimate on a garbage day, gentlemen, take the trash out. You know what I'm saying? I'm a trash hauling fool in our house. I'm always taking the trash out. And listen, I've canceled plenty of guys that are like, oh, you know, Joel, I'm just not getting the intimacy that I want. And I'm like, do the chores. And they're like, well, I did that. And I'm like, yeah, you did it once and you announced it in the house, right? Guys are like, taking the trash out. And they think by doing that once and, you know, making a commentary on it, that's like going to solve it all. Now do it for a while and don't make a big deal out of it. So, loving your wife. Here's number three, your wonderful kids. He says, verse 3 back in Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Kids are awesome. I just love kids. I have four kids between the ages of 6 and 13, two boys, two girls. I love kids. I'm crazy about my kids. I remember a story of a dad that came outside in the morning with his coffee and he saw his six-year-old daughter out there on the front deck or whatever, at the front porch. She got the dog there and she's brushing the dog's teeth with his toothbrush. And you know, the dad, not wanting to react too much, he just kind of said, hey, sweetie, is that daddy's toothbrush? She's like, yeah, dad. And he's like, okay. And she goes, oh, don't worry, dad. I put it back after every time I use it. Don't you just love kids? I mean, they're awesome, aren't they? Yeah. but don't miss this. I think what gets missed a lot, we talk about a man on mission is, first of all, a man. He's one who's responsible with his responsibilities, so he's in awe of God, and he's a man, so he's looking after his stuff. When it comes to our kids, do you realize what I just read? Children are a heritage from the Lord. Here's what that means in the Greek, great reward, or greatest. Do you realize your kids are your greatest reward from God? Here you go. Here's your great reward. A lot of guys don't see this. They see kids as a cost on their time, on their resources, on their work, their business, and they miss the reward that is coming from the Lord. A lot of guys think, oh, my reward is this position, this job, this next job, and their mind is all on that. This growth, this thing we're taking over, this franchise, this industry, this thing I'm creating. Now, I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm not by nature an angry man, but guys in our church know it's like the one thing that picks me off more than anything is a guy who's not responsible with his kids. And you hear it from the wife. He's in the garage again. It gets me, guys. I don't, like, this is the reward that comes from the Lord. This is God going, here's your reward. Here's some kids. And they miss that. And I asked my wife and kids because I thought, why would I come up with a fun list of ways to love your wife and kids? I love my kids. I'll just ask them. So I asked my kids, write down the favorite things that daddy does to love you. And I'm just going to say it, no hiding. And so the first one they said was majesty. And I said, I don't really want to share that story. They're like, dad, you got to tell them about how we're always playing together. Okay, so we're always playing together. That's the first way I love my kids, is we play together. And we goof off a lot. And so we went to the beach on vacation, and I took my shirt off a couple years back, and I put on a few pounds. And so I said to the kids privately, because they're like, dad, you're gaining a little bit of weight there. And I'm like, ah, you know what this is? This is my majesty. You know, it's private. It's just me and them. I'm like, this is daddy's majesty. I don't know where that came from. I was just being a goof. And I'm like, my majesty, like this. And they're all laughing, and we're at the beach. And then we meet up with the 20 people that we're supposed to hang out with at the beach that day. And we're all sitting around in lawn chairs, and my six-year-old son, Cruz, goes, Dad, show them your majesty.
They're like, yeah, Joel, show us your majesty. So I was like, oh, it's nothing. They're like, Dad, your majesty comes over. And he goes, my majesty. I said, I've been calling it my majesty lately in there. Okay. Then I'm not kidding. We're on vacation. When I go on vacation, you have the fun of visiting other churches, which is interesting sometimes. And we're standing at this older style church. We're in the back, and they pull out this old hymn. The six of us are in a line visiting this church. We're reading this old hymn, and it's Majesty. And the whole time the guy's singing it, I am looking across at my kids, and they're all... And I'm looking at my wife saying, the kids. And I look at her, and she's like... And then I'm like, stop it. Now I can't. Any song with Majesty in it, please don't do that. But I'm done. We have fun. That's one way I love my kids. We play together. Second way is, let me just say this, gentlemen, date your daughters. Date your daughters. This is real practical. How do you be responsible for your responsibilities? If you got daughters, date them. I'm amazed, guys. I'm like, what's your plan for your daughter and who she's going to marry? And they always go back to that same stupid joke. I'm going to be that dad on the porch with the shotgun. You're going to wait until you're on a porch and then pull out a shotgun. That's your approach to your daughter's dating? No. Here's a better approach. Date your daughter now so that when that guy comes, I dare her to compare any guy to her dad. That's what it should be. I want to date the socks off my girls, treat them like princesses. When that guy comes along, if he doesn't treat her as good as I do, she's not going to pay attention. Way better insurance policy than, let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Run, dance. No, that is just, do you get my heart though, guys? Dance, boy. No, that's not going to. Own their hearts. Don't end up later in life going, okay, let's go with the fear-based approach. Yeah, my girls, they get to pick the restaurant. Every 3 months we go out, they get to pick the restaurant. And guys, this is our mission, owning their hearts. Another thing, now I realize this is personality, but I just encourage you, relax a bit, have fun. Can I just, I'm almost done here. When are we supposed to end this? Sorry, somebody? Where's Pastor Chris? I just want to know how much time I got here. 2 o'clock, no. Do we have 5 more minutes or not? 10:15, good, all right. You're like, come on, Joel. No, okay. Here's another thing. Like, you don't have to be yourself, but just have fun. I think we're so serious, aren't we? We are so serious. Like, oh, I'm a godly man, which means I'm a serious man. I'm like, no. Come on, really? You know, the Bible says if all the stories of Jesus were told, we wouldn't have enough books to put them in. Okay, so it's not biblical. It's extra biblical. But I'm pretty sure there were times on the shores of Galilee when Peter's all like spouting off about, and then he just gets a mud pie to the side of the face, and there's Jesus going, ha, ha, ha. That's what I think. I think Jesus was, when I read Matthew 6, I see joy. Joy. When I, there's a Jesus video out there, the Matthew version. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. The guy that played that, this Italian actor, he's just joyful. He's joyful. And I'm like, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, when I go into a coffee shop this morning, the last thing I want to do is go up to the front and be like, I'd like my grande coffee, please. I'm like, this person, I might be the only Jesus I meet, that they meet. You know what I'm talking about? Have some joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Have some fun with it. When we go through drive-thru, the kids pick the accent. And I just, whatever accent they pick, I'm going to do that accent. You know, little things like that, right? It's really fun when you go through and they're like, what would you like to order? And I'm like, double chicken burger. No, I'm just saying. We have a walk into things contest in a mall once, and I bailed into the fountain. That's what they wrote. They're like, Dad, remember when you did the walk into things contest? And they're like, the fountain and the large woman. Those were their two favorite things. I took out a large woman. I still to this day feel bad for her. May she rest in pieces. But listen, you got to connect with them. Here's another one my kids wrote down. And this is just ways Dad loves us. They wrote down high-low. You say, what's high-low? At the end of my day, I get home. I have dinner with my family every night.
And I say, all right, let's play high-low. And they already know. And we go around and everybody tells us the highest part of their day and the lowest part of their day. And you connect with your kids. What's the lowest part of your day? Oh, Dad, Roman threw this at me and blah, 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 blah. Okay. What's the highest part of your day? Oh, this happened. You know what I mean? And my one suck-up kid always says the same thing every time. You getting home, Dad, that was the highest point. Okay, yeah, you don't get any money. All right. Here's the number four thing they wrote. I can't believe they wrote this. Again, I'm forced to tell you because this is my deal with them. We wrestle in our underwear. We do. Me and the boys, we get dressed up like wrestlers with Nacho Libre hats on in our underwear, and we completely destroy our bedroom. I mean, pillows, what are they made for? They have to be the most laziest creation of all time. They just lie there all day, not in our house. They are used for the glory of God. In fact, here's how hard we play at this. My 8-year-old son, Roman, at the time he was 8, broke my 5-year-old son Cruz's arm with a pillow. That is awesome, isn't it? No, okay, all right. You're calling child services, but it, you know, it's real. I'll tell you a funny thing, though. We went to the hospital, and the doctor, he goes, how did this happen? And I'm like, he hit him with a pillow. We were pillow fighting in our underwear. And I'm like, why did I just say that? And the doctor, he kind of goes, huh. Like, he had that sort of, I never did that with my dad. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's all I'm trying to say is have fun. This is your reward. You're looking for some reward outside of your kids. You're missing it. Have fun. They're the reward. Let me just say this. Sports isn't your reward. It might be your escape, but it's not your reward. According to the Bible, your kids are. Might be your release, but your kids are your reward. So pour into them. Verse 4, Psalm 127. Let's wrap it up. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. It's this warrior pride and, you know, good pride. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. This is something, if you're missing happiness in your life and you have kids, link it. There's a reward and there's a happiness. And then he says, they will not be ashamed, but speak with their enemies to the gate. Kind of the greatest shame I see in men's lives are their kids. But listen, it's not too late. You know that, right? You're like, oh, my kids grew up, walked away from God, da-da-da. God, again, there's no condemnation. Start loving them now. He doesn't say they're your reward until they leave home and make a mess of their lives. Go back and start loving them now. Now, I know he's talking arrows. We know everybody teaches on this. So train them in the way they go, their natural bent, shoot the arrow that way. But I want to zone in on the last W as we close, and it's the word warrior. How many of you like a good warrior movie? I know I do. I love it. Listen, gentlemen, you are God's warrior. That's what you were created to be. We don't have time for excuses anymore. We're at like, what, 3 minutes to the return of the Lord Jesus? And he's saying here, I want you to step up and be a warrior and treat your family as if it is something that you defend, that you build, that it's your reward, it's your heritage, you're shaping it, you're loving it, it's your responsibility. The problem with today's church is we want to be raptured from responsibility. People are like, oh, I just want the rapture to happen. It's all too difficult. You know what I mean? Of course it's difficult. You're at war. And the biggest institution that God established on earth is the home. And of course Satan's going to come after that. All the gender stuff. Of course he's going to go after that. It's a war. And you're supposed to be mighty for the pulling down of strongholds the devil's placed in your life and over your family. But guys, how can you pull down strongholds of Satan if you don't have the strength to put the remote down? Like, oh, mighty for pulling down strongholds. How about turning off the TV? I don't know. Or shutting off Netflix or whatever it is. The enemy's trying to steal your warrior status. He does it through shame. And when let's just talk about it. When it comes to pornography, I think we miss this. I think guys just make pornography about them. It's like, oh, man, I'm struggling with that. No. It's not about you. It's about the mission. The enemy of your soul is after the mission. Because if he can get you on any sin, then you're off mission. No guy who is sinning their face off is also at the same time praying their face off and sharing Jesus wherever they go. It just doesn't happen. The enemy is after mission. When you're sinning, you're not loving your wife, you're not loving your kids, and you're not warrior-like. You're not like this warrior-like evangelist when you're sinning your face off. You're not, someone said, you're not evangelicals, you're evangelifish. Isn't that good? No backbone, no witness. You got to get your warrior status back, man. Jesus is our ultimate warrior. Just as we close, I don't know if we're doing worship or we're just going to send you off right now. We're talking about the same Jesus that is portrayed by John as he gets a snapshot into heaven. The same snapshot we would get today if we saw him, of Jesus in his glory, returned fresh home as a triumphant warrior and victor. Fresh back from victory over Satan, sin, death, demons, the grave, and hell. And the picture we get in Revelation of the next time we will see him is a blood-drenched robe, one of a warrior. He's not coming back to take sides, he's coming back to take over. And he's going to come back and he's going to look to his men. How did you do, my warriors? Were you responsible with the responsibilities in your life? One last thing. John Wesley, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, Leonard Ravenhill, Chuck Smith, all men with the same Bible as you and I.